Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Last year is that we get to the end of the year and we've kind of forgotten everything that our pastors and God through our pastors tried to teach us throughout the year. So kind of as we come to the end of the year, we need a bit of a recap. We need a bit of a reminder of, oh yeah, that's right. And confession time, I listened to Az's preach. I wasn't here last week. I listened to Az's preach. And it took me like the whole message to work out what series that was. I'm like, he's just making stuff up. We didn't talk about this year. And then he's like, yeah, we did a series on the power of God. I'm like, did we? Like, honestly, so confession time, I'd forgotten that we did a series on the power of God, but I checked and we did. He was right. So we did power of God. But you may not remember that after the power of God, we headed into a series called Fruit. Do you remember that? How can you forget the fruit of the Spirit's not a watermelon? Come on. Do you remember that? That was the best part of the whole series. No offense to everyone that preached in that series, but the kids shone in that series. But we did a series called Fruit, and it was all about the fruits of the Spirit. And that went for quite a few months, actually. I think it went for like March, April, May. And that's the one that I've been given today to do a recap on. And the way that this came about, actually, is a few months ago, God was kind of speaking to me about what we'd been learning. I'd just been kind of mulling over what we'd been learning, and I feel like I was having conversations with God about it. And I started to try and tell Az one day. I started to try and say, hey, God's been speaking to me about that series. He's been kind of showing me these things. And he goes, instead of listening, right? This is what happens in our marriage. Instead of listening, he goes, great, hold it right there. You can teach that in the recap series on fruit in November. Right? And so he put me on the calendar and here I am. I kind of had no way of getting out of it. But so that's how it came to be that I am going to do the recap on the series we did called Fruit. And I don't know if you remember, but we had a series graphic for that series and it said these words on it. It said, they will know you by your fruit. And that's essentially what the whole series was about, was that as disciples of Jesus, as people that call ourselves followers of Jesus, that we're basically saying, hey, people are going to know, or people should know, that you're a follower of Jesus because they see the fruit of the Spirit in your life. We did a whole series around that, but I want to focus in today on that concept of they will know you by your fruit. And it comes really, it's derived really from a passage in Matthew 7 that we're going to read this morning. It'll be up on the screen. This is what it says in Matthew 7. This is Jesus speaking. And he says, from verse 15, he says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Now, before I go any further, I actually want to give you, I already gave you a little bit of insight into our marriage, but I want to give you a little bit more insight into the Hamilton marriage this morning. See, there's this interaction that happens between Az and I quite frequently in our marriage. Some of you might have even witnessed this. But I'll just give an example of when this might play out, right? It's a statement that Az says to me quite often, and this is how it might play out. I'm just going to think of a random example. Is maybe there's a situation where a package has to be dropped at the post office and it has to go that day because it has to get to a certain place on time. So I'll have asked Az to make sure this package gets dropped off by a certain time. And if you know us, you know I've probably reminded him about 10 times that that's got to be done. So he'll get home that day and the first thing I'll ask is, did you drop off the package? Now he will either say something to me or he'll just give me a look. And the look suggests that he might have forgotten to drop off the package. And then I react. And I'm not going to tell you. I'll leave it to your imagination as to how I react in that circumstance. And then Az says, looks at me and says four words. And these are the words he says to me. He looks at me and he says, as I'm reacting, he says, hook, line, and sinker. And then he starts laughing, right? And he laughs and laughs and laughs. Sometimes I laugh with him, other times I don't. And maybe you're wondering, why am I telling you this? Well, I'm going to tell you later on, all right? So you've got to stick with me to understand what this has to do with the topic I want to speak about this morning. But if we head back to that Matthew passage, that Matthew 7 passage, you would have seen multiple times it says you'll recognize them by their fruit. He was talking about the false prophets or the false teachers. He's saying you will recognize them by their fruit. But you'll notice that we flipped the tagline of that series, and it was not you'll know them by their fruit. It was they will know you by your fruit. So in the same way that you'll know them by their fruit, they, everyone, will know you by your fruit. And I just want to do a super quick little recap for those that weren't with us when we did this study. What is the fruit that should be recognizable in the life of a Christian? When it's talking about they'll know you by their fruit, what were we talking about? We were talking about the fruit of the Spirit, which is talked about in Galatians 5. So from verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and this is the stuff they should be recognizing and seeing in your life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Goes on to say, against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So if that's the fruit that should be recognizable in the life of the Christian, what's the fruit, or what's going to be the bad fruit, I guess, that Matthew talks about, that it talks about in Matthew, that'll be recognizable in the false prophets and teachers? Well, Galatians 5, a little bit earlier, tells us. It says, this is the opposite of the fruits of the Spirit. It says, the acts of the flesh. That's what it calls it. The opposite of the fruits of the Spirit is the acts of the flesh. And Galatians 5 says, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So our series was all about the fruit of the Spirit. We went through all those different fruits of the Spirit. But what God was really talking to me about at that time, what I was kind of mulling over in my mind and praying about and chatting with God about, is how do we identify the fruit of someone's life? Or how do I identify the fruit of my own life? How will they know me by my fruit? How will I know them by their fruit? I was sort of, I guess, contemplating, like, is it a once-off occurrence? Like, I see one piece of good fruit and it's like, oh, That's fruit of the Spirit. That's a good tree. Or someone sees one bit of bad in me and it's like, oh, that's a bad tree. That's bad fruit. But I think we all know the answer to that is no. Fruit of the Spirit is not a once-off situation, because the reality is you can actually have fake fruit. Think about it like this. We see this in others, don't we? Some of you might have an example like this where, I don't know, maybe you've had people in your life, maybe you've had family members or friends or work colleagues, and they've sort of been able to fake fruit for a once off, or maybe for a little while. But there comes a point where things sort of take a turn and it's bad fruit, bad fruit, bad fruit, and you finally say, right, enough is enough, this has got to change. Anyone had a circumstance like this where you're like, enough's enough, things have got to change? And the person says, yes, yes, I promise you, I'll change. I'm sorry. I promise you it's going to change. I will change. And it does change, right? It does. For a few days, maybe a few weeks, maybe even a few months. But eventually, boom, something happens and all of a sudden they're back to the old ways, or maybe you'd say they're back to the true them. They were good at pretending for a little while, but there came a point where they just couldn't pretend anymore. Maybe you've seen it in yourself. I mean, come on, if we're honest with ourselves, I think we've all had this situation where there might be something in that list of fruit of the Spirit or that you struggle with. Oh, I'm just not a patient person. I'm just not a patient person, or I'm not a kind person. Like, I just struggle with those things. And so you tell yourself, okay, today with my kids, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be a patient mom today. Or maybe it's as a boss, I'm going to be a kind boss today. Come on. And you like muster it up. You muster it up. You try with all your might. You coach yourself. You're like, today I'm going to do this. Today and tomorrow, I can do this. I can do this. Come on. And you do it, you keep it up for a little while, and then something happens. Something happens that tips you over the edge, and boom, again. It's like, where'd the fruit go? Where'd the fruit go? The fruit, where'd that patience go? Where'd that kindness go? Where'd that love go? Suddenly, one thing happens, boom, it's gone. And essentially, why does that happen? Why does that happen? Why is it that we can't just like keep on going like that? And basically, it's because, and I think you can probably figure this out yourself, is that it's not getting to the root of the problem. It's trying to mask the behavior. Now, Az had props last week, so I decided I needed a prop too. But sadly, the kids' room didn't have quite as good a selection as I was hoping of masks, so all I got was this. But it's like a mask. Because, see, we're trying to muster it up ourselves. We're trying to muster it. We're trying to pretend like that person that's saying to you, I'm going to change. I'm going to change. I promise. I can change. What they're essentially doing is just putting on a mask. It's like, I'll just pretend I'm patient for a while and they won't know that I'm not really patient underneath this all. I mean, even the book of Matthew, it said to us, what did it say? About the false prophets, it said they parade around in sheep's clothing, right? Underneath their ferocious wolves, but they parade around in sheep's clothing. They put on a costume to make you think, I'm just a sheep. I'm just one of you. I'm a sheep. And that's what we do at times. We put on the mask and hope that no one will discover what's really underneath. And some of us walk around with these masks on for a very long time. But the reality is they never last forever. They're a costume. They're a mask. It comes off at some point. It's not permanent. It's kind of like putting a Band-Aid on. You know, when you've got some sort of medical issue and instead of getting to the root of the problem, instead of really trying to treat what's truly going on, it's like, let's just put a Band-Aid on. The Band-Aid will cover it up. It'll make it look like it's not there. We can't see it anymore. But it's not fixing anything, because tomorrow, once that Band-Aid's off, tomorrow the same problem's going to happen again, and you'll just have to put another Band-Aid on it to try and mask what's really going on. Unless you get to the root of the problem, it's just disguising the symptoms. And the reality is, I don't know if you've tried this, but it's exhausting. It is absolutely exhausting trying to pretend all the time. And why is it exhausting? Because you're trying to do it in your own strength and your own power. You're trying to muster it up yourself. You're having to consciously think about it every second because you're like, no, come on, I have to be patient. I have to be patient. I have to be patient. Come on, Beck. Come on, you can do it. It's in your own strength and your own power, and that is exhausting. You might be able to keep it up for a few hours or a few days or a few weeks. Maybe some of you can even manage it months, maybe years. But I can tell you, years of mask wearing is exhausting. And Josiah actually kicked off this series earlier in the year, and he talked to us about this very concept that the fruit of the Spirit is not produced by our own strength. It's not produced by our own power. But it's produced by being connected to the vine that is Jesus Christ. Let's remind ourselves of that passage. John 15 says, I am the vine. This is Jesus talking. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. See, the fruit of the Spirit shouldn't be exhausting. It actually shouldn't be exhausting because it should just be a natural byproduct of being connected to the vine. When you are connected to the vine, when you are connected to Jesus, kind of like as was talking about last night, being plugged into the source, it's just a natural flow. The fruit of the Spirit just start flowing. You don't have to will it up. You don't have to muster it up. You don't have to remind yourself over and over and over. It just starts flowing out of you as you're connected to the vine. The reason it's not exhausting is because you're allowing God to do the work, right? Instead of trying to do the work yourself, you're actually just allowing God to do it, allowing Him to work through you rather than you having to do it. It's about, kind of like what Az said before, it's about surrendering to Him. Surrendering to Him and simply staying connected to Him and allowing Him to transform you from the inside out. And the tree, if you're connected to that vine, the tree will naturally become good and good fruit will start to naturally flow through it. So how do we recognize people's fruit then? Because, well, if you wonder, you know, if we're thinking, oh, well, people can fake it, we can all fake it if we want to, this fake fruit. How can we actually take this verse seriously? How can we take Matthew 7 seriously? How can we actually know the fruit in other people's life and the fruit in our own lives? How can we actually know if there's good fruit in our own life, if it's not just a once off? Well, interestingly, it was around this time that I was kind of contemplating this, that we started a new series at church. Does anyone remember what series came after fruit? Test. Someone said it. Someone that preached it, I think, said it. See, proving our point. The only ones that remember the messages are the preachers. No. But no, we did. We did the Mind of Christ. You remember now? We did the Mind of Christ series. And it was based, or it was centered around a scripture in Romans. And I'm going to read one of the verses from Romans 12, verse 2, that said this. Do you remember this? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And what I began to realize as I was thinking about the Fruit of the Spirit series, and I was thinking about the Mind of Christ series, and it's like the two came together for me, and I realized that fruit equals patterns. See, that verse said, and your version may not say this, your version may just say, do not conform to this age or to this world. But the NIV says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. See, fruit isn't once off, because as we said, you can do it once off in your own strength. But fruit is patterns of behavior. So you can mask it for a little while, but eventually the patterns of your life will be revealed because they're like ingrained in you. Patterns are like cemented in you. And so you can't, it's not just once off, it's an over and over and over. It's a repeated pattern. So what do I mean by patterns? I mean a pattern is essentially a repeated form, right? In maths, it's a core sequence that repeats. Now, anyone remember in maths you had to do like patterns and you had to come up with the answer? Okay, well, John, I'm going to test you. Ready? Because I've got one. We've got one that's going to come on the screen. What is the next number in the pattern? Got it. Well done. Well done. But do you remember having to do these patterns in school? And what was this? The reason that you're able to work out what the answer is you figure out the pattern. You figure out, wait, what happened to the 2 to get 4? What happened to the 4 to get 8? What happened to the 8 to get 16? And it's the same thing being repeated. And you work out, well, that, okay, if it was that, and it was that, and it was that, and it was that, well, then I just have to do that again and I'll get the answer, right? So that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about patterns. You can figure out what the answer will be because there's a pattern to follow. Now, what do patterns look like in your life or my life? Well, we're going to go back to the hook, line, and sinker story. Why did I share that story with you? Well, why does that joke work? So for those that couldn't figure out what he was doing, basically Azza decided, I'm going to say something. That's not true, by the way, because every time he has done what I asked him to do. But he's thinking, I'll tell her I didn't do it She'll blow up. It'll be hilarious when I tell her, I did do it, babe. But the reason that the joke works, Bella's saying it's not funny, Josiah's thinking it's hilarious. That sums up marriage. But why does that joke work? The joke works because I'm very predictable, right? I am very predictable. After 12 years of marriage, he knows exactly how to push my buttons. He knows exactly how I'm going to respond. He knows exactly how I'm going to react. And so he thinks, he's probably thinking, well, after 12 years of marriage, she knows I'm going to post the thing. So why does she have to ask me? So he thinks I'll have a little play with this. But he does this. And that was just a minor example. Trust me, he does this with a lot of different things. And you'll probably start to hear it, because now that he knows you all know, he'll probably do it more. But what he's essentially saying is, I know how she's going to respond. I know how she's going to react because I've seen this over and over and over for 12 years. And this will be hilarious if I do it again. He knows what behavior is coming. Can I just tell, if you're not aware, your spouse knows your behaviors. You are predictable. Your parents, right, young people, your parents know your behaviors. They know your patterns of behavior. Your work colleagues have learnt it by now. Everyone in your life starts to see patterns in your life, and honestly, they probably see them better than you do. Sometimes we're blinded to our own patterns, but the people around you see your patterns. Another way of thinking of it, what does it look like in life? I don't know about you, but my mum used to always teach me, or something she would always say when I was young, is I'd be there telling her about my day at school. I'd be telling her about different friendship groups, and maybe I'd be telling her about, oh, a fight's happening between these people and a fight's happening between these people, and oh, and then we're in class and this happened. And my mom would often ask me this question. She would say, so who's the common denominator? Did anyone else's mum use this tactic, or was it just mine? And what she was trying to teach me, again, another maths concept, but what she was trying to teach me is, Beck, in all these stories you're telling me, maybe it's, let's go with there's fights happening here, fights happening here, fights happening here. There's all these fights going on. Who's the common denominator? Now, what she was often trying to show me is, maybe there was a particular friend in my world that she's like, you need to get away from that friend, because for some reason, anywhere they are, there's fights. Or maybe it's, hey, there's lies being spread here or gossip being shared here. And what my mum's trying to get me to see that one friend that seems to always be there and there and there, or maybe she was trying to help me see that I was the common denominator. I don't know. Like, who knows what she was trying to teach me. But I'm sure at times she was trying to show me that. Beck, notice that you're in the middle of all the drama. Or notice that friend of yours is always in the middle of that drama. Again, it's patterns. It's looking for patterns in our lives, because we all have them. We have patterns of behavior. We have habits. They become habits. We have habits. We have these predictable, set in stone behaviors in our lives that happen over and over and over again, that the situations occur and you respond the same way. And perhaps every time you respond is with the fruit of the Spirit, or perhaps every time you respond, it's the acts of the flesh. Because the question is, we all have patterns, as I said, but the question is, are you following the patterns of the world, or are you following the patterns of God's kingdom? That's what it comes down to. Are you following the patterns of this world, or the patterns of God's kingdom? Just a reminder, the patterns of this world, that's the acts of the flesh. The patterns of God's kingdom are the fruit of the Spirit. And so when the Bible says, or when Jesus says, hey, you'll recognize them by their fruit, and in the same way that John passage said, hey, people will know you're Jesus' disciples by your fruit, what it's saying is, we observe patterns in people's lives, or they observe them in ours. We observe patterns in people's responses and behavior. Maybe it's patterns in speech, patterns in relationships, patterns with finance maybe, patterns with work, whatever it might be. You start to observe patterns in the people around you, and they're observing patterns in you. And you need to start looking for patterns in your own behavior. We look for common denominators. Okay, I've got all these similar circumstances happening. What's the one thing in common of them all? Or who? Is it me, for example? We start to recognize, or we need to recognize, repeated and predictable behaviors, right? Just like the maths pattern, we can predict the response, we can predict the outcome. That how do we ensure, because I think most of you hopefully want to be people that are following the patterns of God's kingdom rather than the world. So how do we do that? Let's go back to the Romans passage, which tells us that we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind, right? We did a whole series on that. It was an awesome series. If you missed it, I encourage you to listen to the podcast. But it tells us we need to be transformed. And that transformation begins by being connected to the vine. The transformation, the very first point where the transformation begins is when you are connected to the vine that is Jesus. And as we're connected to the vine, as we're connected to the source, like as talked about last week, we start to be transformed. The patterns of our mind start to change. Like the way you think should start to change, because that's patterns. You have patterns in your mind. But as you get connected to the vine and as the Holy Spirit starts to transform you, how you think should start to change. The patterns in your mind should be different. And then the condition of your heart starts to change. The condition of your heart starts to change. And then out of that redeemed heart, out of that heart that is surrendered to God, starts to flow the fruits of the Spirit. And what that means is that as followers of Jesus, if you're sitting here this morning saying, yep, I follow Jesus, I'm a follower of him, I'm a disciple of Jesus, what that means is that you should actually, we all should, be continually changing and growing and becoming more like Jesus, because transformation is not a one-time event, right? Transformation is not I'm transformed today and that's it. No, transformation is a process over time. And this is something cool. Well, I thought it was cool, is if we go back to that Romans passage where it says, be transformed. Well, the word in the Greek, so this was originally written in Greek, and the word for be transformed is the word, and I cannot say it right, but I'm going to call it metamorpho, okay? Hear this, because I think this is cool, because this will illustrate it for you, hopefully. It is the word that the English word metamorphosis is derived. Now, if you're like me, the only thing I know about metamorphosis is caterpillar to butterfly, right? Does anyone remember that from school? That's probably the only thing I learned in science that I still remember. But anyway, so metamorphosis, right? This is what it means. It describes a profound internal change, similar to the transformation of a caterpillar to a butterfly, right? Think about it. That transformation, it happens inside the cocoon. It's an internal transformation, but that internal transformation is then seen on the outside because you see a butterfly. It was once a caterpillar. It goes inside the cocoon. This transformation occurs, and then all of a sudden you see the butterfly. You see the transformation. You can see that change has happened internally because you see the fruit. The fruit is the butterfly. And that should be the same with any one of us who calls ourselves follower of Jesus. I'm just going to put it out there. You shouldn't look, if you're a follower of Jesus, you actually shouldn't look the same as you looked 10 years ago. You shouldn't look the same as you looked 5 years ago, even 2 years ago, even a year ago, even yesterday. You should actually, as a follower of Jesus, be transforming day in, day out to become more like Jesus. You shouldn't be the same person you were 10 years ago. I'm just going to say that if your behaviors are still the same 10 years ago, now I'm not talking about fruit of the Spirit, because fruit of the Spirit should always be increasing our life, but I'm talking about the acts of the flesh now. If you're still doing the same behaviors that you were doing 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, even yesterday, my encouragement is, are you still transforming? Are you still connected to the vine? Because as Christians, we should be metamorphosizing. I don't think that's a word, but anyway, we should be, that internal change should be happening day in, day out. You shouldn't look the same. And you know, I've noticed that in my own life. Right, if we go back to the hook, line, and sinker story, I'm going to proudly say he doesn't catch me out as much anymore, right? He doesn't. 12 years ago, he caught me a lot with that joke because I was a reactor. And I still am a reactor, but nowhere near as much as I used to be. He doesn't catch me as much anymore. The joke doesn't work as well anymore because I've changed. And, you know, I actually want to share with you this morning that, and this is, I'm just going to be honest, is I am a very different person today than I was when Az and I were first married. And we often talk about it. We can now laugh about it. At the time, it wasn't funny, but we can laugh about it now. But we think back. See, I used to have a huge problem with my response to disappointment or inconvenience, okay? Now, I'm not like, some of you are thinking, she still has issues with that, but not like I used to, okay? But here's the thing. My response to disappointment, it was bad. Like, I'm not proud of it. In fact, there was one particular day, and I'm very concerned about how you're all going to think of me after this, all right? But I felt God say, be honest, so I'm being honest. But I can remember one particular morning, and I know Az will be able to remember it too, because it actually was probably a pivotal moment when we both went, things have to change here. And it's ridiculous. Thinking back, I go, Beck, this is ridiculous. But I remember we were out for breakfast at one of our favorite cafes where we used to eat all the time, and this is just ridiculous. But my breakfast came and it wasn't what I pictured. It wasn't what I thought I was going to get. And quite frankly, I didn't know how to handle that at the time. I was one of these people that like, yeah, if just I had a plan in my head and then something's happened to ruin it. And then it hasn't just ruined. The problem was is I wouldn't just let it ruin that moment. I would let it ruin the whole day. And so as it'd be like, oh, here we go, breakfast isn't right, forget the rest of the day. It's going to be we might as well just go home because the rest of the day is not going to be good. Like, it's embarrassing, but it's true. Hopefully I'm not the only one that, thank you, John, because I, good. Anyway, so where was I? Oh, yeah, so it was like, okay, kiss the day goodbye, it's ruined. As would call it, and we still have a code word for this in our marriage. You're learning lots about our marriage today. But Az would say, here we go, you're spiraling, right? He would say, you're spiraling. And this, I'm sure some women can understand what I mean by this, okay? Like, you know when you're in a fight and you're fighting about something and then all of a sudden it's, and you leave your dirty socks everywhere and if I have to, and Az is like, and then it's like, and 5 years ago you did this. And Az is thinking, I just didn't do that. How are we back to 5 years ago? And he's like, and so I think we decided that very morning at that cafe, code word. I said, right, I'm giving you a code word because I was mortified by my behavior. I knew what I was doing wasn't right, but it's like I couldn't change it. And I remember I said, right, from now on, code word is spiral. When I say spiral, that's a, and it is. To this day, it still works because if I'm spiraling, he's like, you're spiraling. I'm like, yep, you're right. I need to take a breather. I need a moment. I need to pray. I need to get back on track. I need to get connected to the vine again, because I'm spiraling here. But the reason that I say this is because that way that I behaved at breakfast like 11 years ago, I don't behave like that anymore. I don't behave, doesn't mean I'm not sometimes disappointed with the food in front of me, but my reaction to the situation is not the same. And I was talking to Az about this week and I said, it's true, right? Aren't I a different person to who you married? And he said these words. He said, you are a completely different woman today to who I married. Better. You said better, right? I hope. I think you said better. Let's go with that anyway. But what did he say? He goes, sorry. But he said, you're a totally different woman today to who I married. And I could say the same about him. He's a different man today to who I married. And what he actually said was, I guess what he was getting at is you're actually almost unrecognizable to who you were. And what I'm trying to say this morning is that's the goal. That is the goal. We should, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we should become unrecognizable. Like when you become a Christian, people should notice. Now, maybe not instantly, but as you've been walking with Jesus over time, people should notice changes in you. And even if you've been walking with Jesus for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, if people aren't noticing that you're changing, then I wonder, did you get disconnected without even realizing it a little while ago? Because people should notice, and you should notice that you're behaving. Sometimes we don't until someone points it out to us, but we should, if we were to examine the patterns of our life, we should realize, yeah, I've changed. And you know, the reason that I can know that, you know, things happen where you go, I have changed. So a couple of weeks ago, we were at the airport coming back from our holiday, and we'd had a great holiday, but then the final travel day was just not good. Day from hell. And we got in at like midnight to Brisbane, and we'd been traveling by that stage for probably 15 hours, and it was like 4 a.m. where we were, so we were exhausted. And you know that feeling, you're at the carousel, the bags are coming around, everyone's leaving, and you're still there. Like, you're one of the last people there, and you don't want to believe it, so you're still looking at the thing thinking, it's going to come, it's going to come. Our bags didn't come. And it's midnight, you're exhausted. And a man had spilled a glass of red wine on me on the flight, on my favorite outfit. So it was a bad day, right? But here's the thing. I seemed to not care. Az was like looking at me like, she's not angry. She's not upset. I went up to the thing, sorted out where our bags were. They promised they'd be there the next day. And I said, I turned to Az and I said, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, who knows, maybe even 2 years ago, I would have reacted very differently. He's like, you absolutely would have reacted very differently many years ago. But for me, it was a moment of, yes, God, thank you. I am changing. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not in those same patterns. Those patterns are being broken. And some of those patterns have been cemented for years and years and years. But as I stay connected to the vine and the Holy Spirit starts working in me, transforming me, my responses and reactions are different, and the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit starts flowing through us. See, unrecognizable, that's the goal. And you know that same Greek word for be transformed is the same word used in 2 Corinthians 3:18, which says this, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see, right? Those of us that have had the veil removed, we can see Jesus. We can see that he is Lord and Savior. We can see. All of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And then it says, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed, transformed into his glorious image. I'm going to just read that again, because this is you. If you call yourself a Christian, this is you. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. See, every day we should be looking more and more like Jesus. We should be transforming inwardly and outwardly to reflect his glory. But notice that verse, it doesn't say we have to try to be more like him. It doesn't say we have to put on a mask that looks like Jesus. That's not Jesus, but we don't have to put on a mask. The Bible doesn't say we have to put on a mask. Actually, it says the veil's been lifted. We don't have to put on a mask. We don't have to try. What it says is, it says that the Lord, who is the Holy Spirit, will make us more and more like him. That means that it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by his Spirit. It's by his Spirit. But we need to have that Holy Spirit working in us, transforming us. We have to be connected to the vine. We have to be connected to the vine that is Jesus, and then allow him to shape us and mold us and change us and transform us. We need a metamorphosis to take place. We need an inward transformation to take place in our heart and in our mind that results in worldly patterns being broken and new godly patterns taking shape in our life. There's one more place that we find that cool word, metamorpho. In Matthew 17, hear this. Many of you will know this passage. So keep in mind, this is that same word. It says that after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. It says his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. That same word, the same word is that we should be transformed. Jesus was transfigured. Same word. Jesus was transfigured. What that means is to give a new and exalted appearance, a glorified appearance, transformed outwardly for the better. So Jesus was transfigured into an exalted, glorified appearance. In this moment, he's revealing his identity as the Son of Man who will come in glory at the end of the age. In those chapters in Matthew, he actually tells us that so just slightly before this, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he tells them that at the end of the age, he says that the wicked are going to be judged. And then he says this about us, right? If you're a follower of Jesus, this is what he says about us. Matthew 17, he says, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Is that not stunning? Here he's telling us all through that we've got to be transformed. We've got to be transformed. He's going to transform us into his likeness, into his glory. And you know what? While we're here on earth, we're not going to be perfect. While we're here on earth, there are going to be days when it's like, whoa, where'd the fruit of the Spirit go? But it tells us that at the end of the age, when he returns, and when those, the righteous followers of Jesus, those that confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, when he comes back to get us, we are going to shine like the sun, just like he did in the transfiguration. We are going to shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. The transformation is going to be complete. We're going to shine like the sun in the kingdom of heaven. Is that not the most beautiful image? Those who are connected to the vine. And we all have that opportunity. You and I, all of us, if we want to be connected to the vine, if we want to be connected to Jesus, we can be. And when we're connected to that vine, daily we'll be transformed. Inward transformation that results in beautiful fruit. I can almost smell it now, like an aroma coming out of us. And then one day we will be transformed into his glorious image. I want to end this morning by praying. But I want to pray for three groups of people, and I hope that maybe you find yourself in one of these categories. And so I just want you to take a moment as I mention these three categories and just almost take an intel maybe. Like, is this me? God, is this me? Am I in that category? Is this the one that I need to respond to? Firstly, I want to pray for those you know you've never been connected to the vine. You're hearing this maybe for the first time, or maybe you've been sitting here for a long time and you've been hearing about Jesus, but you know deep in your heart, you've never connected yourself to him. You've never surrendered your heart to him. You've never said, Jesus, take the wheel. I want to be connected to you. I want to have you as my Lord and Savior. Maybe that's you this morning and you're like, I want the fruit of the Spirit. I want the fruit of the Spirit to flow out of my life. But to do that, you first have to be connected to the vine. That's the first step. Otherwise, you're just going to get exhausted trying to do it on your own strength. So some of you, maybe that's you this morning, you're like, I got to connect to the vine for the very first time. Today's the day. The second group of people I want to pray for is maybe you thought you were connected to the vine. Maybe many years ago or just a little while ago you did. You connected to the vine. You made that decision. You made a decision, I'm going to follow Jesus. But somewhere along the way, maybe you realized it, maybe you didn't. Maybe you're only realizing it this morning. Somewhere along the way, you just got disconnected from that vine. You started trying to walk in your own strength. You started trying to be God of your own life. You started trying to make your own decisions and do it your way. And this morning, God is saying, just come back to the vine. Just come back to the vine. Don't do it in your own strength. Don't do it with your own power. Just allow my Holy Spirit to flow through you. Come back to the vine. And then the third group of people I want to pray for is maybe this morning, maybe you are a follower of Jesus, but as you've listened this morning, you've realized that actually there are some patterns of this world that are ruling your life. You know, we all bring, when we come to Jesus, we all bring baggage. We all bring things from our past. We all bring things from our family. We all bring things that are just so ingrained in us that we don't even realize that, hang on, they're patterns of this world. Sometimes, hey, can I just say, I just feel to say this, just because everyone around you is doing it doesn't mean it's God's way. Like sometimes the patterns of this world seem like God's kingdom. Well, everyone around me is doing it. Well, maybe God's saying, hey, I've called you to be different. I've called you to be set apart. I've called you to actually live according to the patterns of my kingdom, not the patterns of this world. So maybe this morning you're recognizing, hey, if you're bold enough, even ask God, just quietly ask God, God, what is it? What is it in my life that I'm not seeing, that there's a blind spot that I'm not seeing, that I have been just living in these patterns of the world? And this morning, I actually believe, as I've been praying this week in preparation, I've sensed that this morning, some of you need to have those patterns broken off. There are some patterns of this world that have been in some of your lives for too long. They've run rampant in your life, and some of you are aware of them and you just don't know what to do with them. Some of you aren't even aware, but God's bringing it to the light this morning. And I'm believing that this morning, some of those patterns, they're going to be broken off in the name of Jesus. And it's a new day where you're going to be following the patterns of God's kingdom, where you're going to be connecting to that vine and allowing that inward transformation to happen, where you're going to renew your mind, change the way you think. You're going to allow it to be the mind of Christ. So I'm going to pray this morning. I'm not actually going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to pray for those three groups of people, and maybe you're in one or all of them. And then we're going to close the service. But I am going to encourage you, if you need prayer, like maybe in particular that final category was you and you're like, I need prayer. I need someone to stand with me and believe for this. I'm going to invite you at the end of the service. We always have a prayer team available. I'm going to invite you to come down and allow them to pray with you, or as and I can pray with you to see those patterns broken. Because there is going to be freedom in this house this morning, I believe. Freedom as you get those patterns of this world broken and don't allow them to rule your life any longer. So, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, that you actually aren't content for us to just live in our sin, live in our guilt, live in our shame. But, Father, you actually want to do a transforming work in us. And Lord, I thank you that you don't make it hard. You don't ask us to jump through hoops. Lord, you just say, connect to me. Connect to me. Abide with me. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I'll give you rest. Father, I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die on that cross and to rise again, so that those bondages and those chains of death and sin and guilt and shame can be broken in the name of Jesus. And Father, this morning I'm praying, first of all, for those that have never made a decision to follow you, and today's the day they want to do it. Lord, I am praying for every single person that is sitting there thinking, Jesus, I want to surrender my heart to you. I want to acknowledge you as Lord and Savior. Father, I pray right now that the Holy Spirit will come upon them. Lord, that you will start a transformation in their life. Lord, where they start to become unrecognizable, because as they connect to you, the Holy Spirit starts to do a work in them, and the fruit of the Spirit starts flowing through them. Father, I pray that you will strengthen them, that you will bless them. Lord, that your Holy Spirit will guide them every step of the way. Father, I pray for those that know they've somewhere along the way become disconnected. Maybe they thought they'd done enough, that they were secure in their relationship with you, Lord, but they actually didn't realize that somewhere along the way they completely disconnected from you. And Father, I pray this morning for those people that want to come back to you. Lord, I can see the picture of you with open arms saying, come to me. Come to me. I've been waiting for this moment for you to come back to me. So Father God, I pray for every single person that applies to. Lord, may they run into your open arms. May they surrender their heart to you once again. Lord, may they declare that you are their Lord and Savior. And Father, may the Holy Spirit do a mighty work in them and start to transform their mind and their heart, and with the fruit of the Spirit start to flow through them, Lord, not exhausting, but joyfully. Lord, may it bring joy and freedom to their life as they connect with you, as they abide with you, as they rest in your arms. And Father, I also pray this morning for every person in this place that the light is suddenly coming on and they're suddenly seeing where the patterns of this world have robbed them. And where you want to bring freedom into their life, where you want to change their thinking, you want to change their heart, you want to transform them. Lord, you want them to become unrecognizable because you want them to become more and more like your son Jesus every day. And so, Father, right now, for those that are saying, God, show me what it is, show me what needs to change, Father, I pray that you will. You'll just switch a light on. That the sins that have been in darkness will suddenly be to the light. Where the patterns of this world have consumed them, have taken over, have taken precedence in their life. Lord, right now in the mighty name of Jesus, by the blood shed on the cross, in his mighty name, Lord, I pray for some of those patterns of the world to be broken in the name of Jesus and for freedom to reign in this place. Lord, I pray that we will be a church that is overflowing with your joy, overflowing with your peace, overflowing with your love and your patience and your everything, your goodness. Lord, may we be full of your righteousness. Father, may we be holy. Lord, may we be looking more and more like you every day. And Father, we look ahead with eyes fixed on you to the day that you will return and take us to be with you in glory. We long for that day. We long for that day. Holy Spirit, right now, I pray that you come. Holy Spirit, fall in this place. Lord, come and do what only you can do. Lord, it's not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. We can do nothing except through your Holy Spirit. We cannot change ourselves, so we surrender to you right now, Father, and we say, come and transform us. Lord, we want to go from the caterpillar to the butterfly. Do that mighty transformation. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.